Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. I'm glad to be back. I was in West Virginia last week visiting with my daughter. That went good. I hope everybody's having a good week so far. We still got people recovering from COVID. We've got a couple people that had surgeries, so keep those people in your prayers, that they'll recover good from their surgeries and continue to recover from COVID. A lot of them are already over the COVID and back in church. We're glad they're back, but there's still some that are trying to recover, so keep them in your prayers. But let me go ahead and open us up in prayer, and we'll just get right into it. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and just share what you've laid on my heart this week. And Father, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds to hear what it is you have to say. And I just pray, Lord, that it'll be you speaking through me. Help me not to voice any of my opinions or my ideas, Lord, but let it be your truth. And we'll just turn it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It really is good to see y'all. I missed you guys last week. I was glad to see my daughter and my granddaughter and my son-in-law, though. Only get to see them like once a year. So that was fun, too. But I got myself all tangled up. There we go. But we had a really good time. We didn't get out and do a whole lot. We just really just spent some time together, and that was nice. That was real nice. We also went and visited my daughter's mom, my first wife, Teresa, and my ex-father-in-law, Earl, while we were there. I always like getting to see them. So that was real nice, too. On the way to their house, I sat in the back seat, and I got car sick. I didn't even know I got car sick, but when I got there, I was super sick. I think that's the first time I'd ever been car sick, but they gave me some motion sickness medicine that cleared it right up, and we wound up having a good visit. Like I said, we didn't get out and we didn't schedule a bunch of stuff to do. We just spent time together and watched some movies. We watched that whole God's Not Dead series. There's four of them, and we watched all four of them. I really liked them. That was the first time I had ever seen them, and that was really good. And watched a lot of shows with my granddaughter. I got a new favorite show. It's called Squishy Makeover with Mariah Elizabeth. I don't know if any of y'all know who that is, but she takes those old squishy toys and people mail them into her and she restores them. That was pretty neat. I'm glad we didn't do much. We've actually got to spend quality time together. We did go to a judgment house at one of the local churches, and while we were there, they had this bell, and every time somebody would accept Christ as their Savior, they'd ring that bell. So there was a few people saved while we were there, and we were only there for like maybe an hour at the most. And then we went trick-or-treating on Saturday night. But most of the time, we just, you know, hung out together. I think a lot of times we plan all kinds of things to do together, and we do those things, but we're so focused on the things that we're doing that we miss each other. You know, you can come home from a visit and feel like you didn't even get to see each other. So I'm glad we didn't do that. And, you know, we can do the same thing at home. It don't have to be on vacation. We can do that at home. We can get so busy with work and school or sports or whatever it is, and we barely see each other, even though we live with one another. We wonder why our relationships just grow cold or grow apart. You know, one of my favorite things about my trip up there was eating together. You know, we was eating breakfast together. We ate lunch together when we could. We eating supper together. You know, we weren't busy. We were actually sat down at the table together and would pray together and eat together. And that was really nice. You don't see families doing that much anymore. It's hard to have a a strong, healthy relationship with somebody that you never see. And, you know, that's the same way with God. It's hard to have a good, close relationship with God. It's hard to grow in your relationship with God if you're never spending any time with Him, you know, in His Word or spending time with Him in prayer. So it was just real nice to go up there and not be busy, but just spend some time together. So we've been talking the last few weeks about being examples, both good examples and bad examples. You know, somebody might say you can't be an example if you're not even there. And I don't agree with that. I think you're still an example by not being there. You know, if you're never home to see your family because of work or whatever, it don't matter what the reason is. You're setting an example that way, you know, to your children, to your husband or your wife, or, you know, that this means more to me than spending time with you does. And even if that's not true, you know, I know some people have to work long hours and stuff. That's how they're going to take it. And it does damage your relationship. So you can set an example just by not being there. And it's not a good one. And if that's the kind of example that they grow up with, then they will follow in your footsteps. We tend to turn into whatever our examples are. So this week, I want to talk about construction zones. That might sound a little strange, but I think you'll pick up on it here in a minute. All the way up there on the way to West Virginia, when I drove up last week, it was just construction zone after construction zone. Seemed like every town I went through, there was a construction zone. And I don't know how many of y'all are like me, but when you see a construction zone, you're just like, oh man, really? You know, I was wanting to make good time, and when you see that, you know it's going to slow you down. And that's when people start driving like they're in a competition, trying to get in front of each other before the lane closes, and everybody's manners just seem like they go out the window. You know, I'm not gonna let you over in front of me. You should have got over a mile back when you saw the sign. You know, we stop being kind to each other and we try to get in front of each other. We don't want to be the one that gets stuck behind the truck going into the construction zone. And life is a whole lot like that. You know, as long as things are flowing along free and easy, we're happy, and it's easy to be nice to one another. It's easy to be kind to one another. But it seems like when life throws one of those uh-oh moments at us, like Chris talked about last Wednesday, or a construction zone, we'll call it, when it throws that at us, that's when our true character comes out. You know, it's when we're hit with something hard, when life gets hard really quick. That's when our true character comes out. You know, we read these verses last week, or not last week, but the last time I was up here in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is talking to that crowd, and he says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And again in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So we've got to get to the place where when life throws hard things at us, the abundance of our hearts isn't like we see. You know, it's not like those people that we see in the traffic jams, you know, when their true character comes out. And we start seeing everybody as our enemy, and we try to get in front of them and, you know, do everything we can to keep them from getting in front of us. We got to get to the place where when we hit a construction zone in our life, even if we don't know what to do, and even if everybody around us is doing the wrong thing, that we can still be obedient to God. You know, that's what, I think that was in Josh's sermon on Sunday. when you don't know what to do, just be obedient. You know, we have to get to the place where even when life is hard, Jesus is still Lord, and we still obey him. You know, the next verse in Luke 6:46, Jesus says, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, just because life gets hard and throws things at us that we weren't prepared for or things that we didn't see coming, he's still Lord when things happen. And we still need to be obedient to him. He should still be Lord in the hard times. That's when we should be obedient to him the most. You know, that's when we have to trust God and that his word is true and that everything, even the hard times, are going to work out for our good if we'll just trust him and let him guide us through them. And you'll see that in Romans 8:28. I know y'all are probably familiar with this verse. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. So it's not just the good things when everything's going good. When life falls apart, that can work together for your good too, as long as we let God, allow God to, you know, to lead us through those times instead of trying to go through them on our own wisdom and our own knowledge. One of the things I noticed about construction zones and when you're going through them is the rules change. You know, you have to reduce your speed. You have to slow down. And the fines are higher in construction zones if you make a mistake. So you have to concentrate a whole lot more, and you have to focus on what you're doing and focus on what's going on around you. And I think a lot of times God will throw a construction zone in our lives, you know, so we'll slow down so he can get our attention. He'll give us the signs when we're getting into the danger zone, and he wants us to slow down so he can show us something. He can, you know, show us when we're getting close to danger. He'll show us an area of our life that it's going to be really easy to make a mistake in if you're not careful. So God, he wants you to slow down and take a good look around you and make sure you're still going in the right direction. You know, it can be all kinds of things. Maybe you're he wants you to slow down and see that you're getting too friendly with a coworker at work and you didn't even see it happening. Maybe it happened over time, or maybe your kids are getting mixed up in something that you don't even know about because you're too busy going 90 miles an hour and you don't slow down and take any time with them. So God's saying, in those times, God's saying, slow down, you know, eat supper together and ask them, how was your day? What's going on in your life? Make time for each other. Or maybe your spouse has been feeling neglected for months and you didn't even notice because you started taking them for granted and you're just focused on your own life and your own needs. You know, it's real easy to do in the fast-paced life that we live in today. You know, sometimes God wants us stuck behind the truck so that we will slow down and be able to see what's going on around us. And sometimes he wants us to completely stop at a rest area and make sure we're heading in the right direction. You know, what if you're doing 90 miles an hour and you're going in the wrong direction? You know, I think a lot of times we do that before we realize what we're doing. We're so far into it that now we're going to have consequences from going the wrong way. So sometimes he just wants us to stop. And sometimes I have to do that. When was the last time you stopped and just really took a look at your life and took a look at the lives of those around you and honestly asked yourself, you know, how are they doing? How are my kids? Or how is my wife or my husband? Or, you know, how are my friends doing? What do they need? What do they need from God? What do they need from me? You know, or ask yourself, you know, how am I doing? What do I need? Am I going in the right direction? What do I need from God? What do I need from the people in my life? Those are important questions to ask ourselves you know, am I going in the right direction? You know, Chris talked about the Holy Spirit last week and how we should be letting Him guide us and lead us, and knowing that He's with us all the time. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, that's a good verse to go along with that. Paul's saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we have to ask ourselves, am I being led by the Holy Spirit, or am I just chasing after my own desires, my flesh? You know, it's easy to do in the fast-paced world that we live in. We'll get so busy that we're just chasing whatever needs done, and we don't take time to stop and ask, is this the way the Lord is leading me, or am I just going that way because that's the way everybody else is going? You know, the majority is not always right. Most of the time, they're not right. So when you're stopped and checking to see if you're going in the right direction, be honest with yourself. And if you're not, you know, while you're stopped, that's a good time to change direction. A good way to find out if you need to change direction is in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. You know, prayerfully pray to God these verses and say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I know from experience that if you pray those verses to God with a pure heart and you truly want Him to show you what needs to change, He'll show you what needs to change. He won't make you change. God will never make you change. But He will show you what needs to change. And another good thing to do while you're stopped is look at what you're sowing. You know, all through Scripture, God is telling us, you know, we're shaping our own tomorrows by the choices that we make and the things that we're sowing today. And not just our own tomorrow, but other people too, everybody around you. You know, your friends, your spouse, your children. What we're sowing affects them too. In Galatians 6, verses 7 through 8, we can read that. It says that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it's really not that hard to judge, you know, what you're planting. If you'll ask yourself, okay, if I do this, if I plant this, how is this going to affect my wife or my husband? You know, take them into consideration. Or how's this going to affect my relationship with God? The problem is, you know, when we're walking in the flesh, we're not looking at what our decisions are going to do to anybody else or how it's going to affect our relationship with God. When we're walking in the flesh, all we're concerned about is what's going to please me right now. So that's the difference in sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. You know, take a look at what you're sowing and how does it look a month from now? How's it going to look 6 months from now if I do this? Or what's it going to look like a year from now if I do this? You know, you can play that out in your head and you'll get a pretty clear picture of what your harvest is going to look like. You don't have to wait to see what happens. You can pretty much tell what's going to happen if I make this decision today. What's it going to look like in 6 months? Or what's it going to look like a year from now? And not just for yourself, for the other people in your life too. But if we'll do like it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, if we'll trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, but if we acknowledge God in everything that we do, He will direct our paths. And that's how we can walk in the Spirit, like we just read in Galatians 5:16. And we can get a whole lot better picture of our future harvest because we're sowing in the Spirit instead of sowing in selfishness or in the flesh. You know, when we sow in the Spirit, it benefits everybody around us. You know, it don't bring negative consequences to them or us. And it grows us closer to God. It don't damage our relationship with the Lord either. It grows us closer to God. So we have to be willing to let God remove things that need to be removed when we're going through a construction zone. You know, when God brings those things to your mind, He's not condemning you. God don't condemn anybody. He's there to restore you and to redeem you. You know, He put all our condemnation on Christ. When He brings those things to our attention, He just knows that's going to be harmful for us. And He wants us to remove those things from our life. And that's another thing I saw when I was going through all those construction zones. There was all these big dump trucks. You know, they're hauling off all the old stuff that needed to be thrown away and replaced. And our lives are the same way. We have, you know, a lot of things in our life that just need to be thrown away and done with and put in our past. And just like roads, our faith requires maintenance. Just like a road, if you just leave it alone or just use it without doing any maintenance on it, it starts cracking, it'll start falling apart, and the weeds start growing up through it. And pretty soon, it gets full of potholes and it just falls all to pieces. And then just beat your car to death, like 640 down in Knoxville. They got holes down there big enough to plant a tree in. But our faith needs maintenance too, daily maintenance, you know. And I'm not talking about just reading God's word and praying. Those things are very important, and we should read God's word every day, and we should be praying every day. But sharing our faith. If all we do is read and pray, eventually we'll stop doing it. If that's all we do with our relationship with God is read and pray, it almost never fails. I see it all the time. You will stop doing it. We'll do it less and less until we just don't do it anymore. Or the reason is you get hardened to it. And if the only person you're talking to about it is yourself, you get to the point where God's word is not just seeking God anymore. It just becomes a book that we read so we can check it off our list. We have to put action to our faith. And our prayers just become a to-do list for God, you know, instead of a relationship with God, instead of including praising Him and thanking Him for things that He's already done. And we'll begin to just pray about the things that He hasn't done. We'll get that negative mindset and start complaining about things that we don't have. And we'll forget about all the things that God has already done for us. And like the children of Israel that we talked about a few weeks ago, we'll forget the bondages that He's already brought us out of. So we have to do maintenance on our faith all the time. We have to share our faith. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4, that's a really good few verses there to read quite often, because it reminds you what God has done for you. And this is good to read to yourself. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, and who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." So we have to remember all the things that God has done for us and thank Him for those things. I think a lot of times we pray prayers when we're going through hard times, but I wonder how many times that we go back and actually thank God for the things that He has brought us through. You know, show Him some gratitude, show Him some thanksgiving for the things that He's done. And not just thank God for them. It's important that we share our faith with each other. You know, that's why small groups are so important. That's why Celebrate Recovery is so important when we get in our small groups. That's any small group. You know, you can tell somebody, even though I'm going through this, you know, God did this for me. You can share that with them, and it'll build their faith up. Then they'll say, yeah, even though I'm going through this, God's doing this for me. So we build each other up with what God's doing for us. In the book of Jude, in the 20th verse, if you don't know where Jude is, it's the last book in the Bible before Revelation. And in the 20th verse, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we build each other up with our faith and things that God has done for us when we share it with one another. You know, we give hope to one another when we share our faith. We give hope to the lost when we share our faith. We give hope to the lost when we actually live our faith, when they can see Christ in us in the way that we live. And we can be the good examples that we're supposed to be to those around us when we actually live our faith too. You know, prayer and reading is really good, and you should do that. But if you don't share your faith, then it don't do anybody else any good. And we're called to be witnesses. We're called to be examples. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And the only way we can do that is by sharing what God has done in our lives. That's why it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So my faith strengthens your faith, and your faith strengthens my faith. You know, when you're having a bad day, I can pick you up. And when I'm having a bad day, you can pick me up. And that's how we know God is alive and well, and everything is going to be okay, because you see God working in me, and I can see God working in you. And we kind of balance out. When you're having a rough time, I can help you. When you're having a rough time, you can help me. But I can see God working in you, and you can see God working in me, working and healing and helping us. You know, just like Josh said Sunday, we are the temple of God. But we have to share our faith to bring God glory, to make him seen. If we don't share him, we never bring him glory, because we never demonstrate what God is doing. But when we share, people can see God. You know, we'll never bring anyone to Christ sitting by ourselves and reading and learning and gaining knowledge, but never sharing our faith. And we'll never lift one another up without sharing and living out our faith. We have to live it out. It has to be an action. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We make the house together. Each of us is a stone, and it says we're supposed to be lively stones. We're supposed to be sharing our faith with one another and with the lost. And all us together, we build a spiritual house. You know, it's the family of God. That's the body of Christ that we talk about all the time. We make the house together. Nobody can be on their own, but together we build a spiritual house. And if we go a little further in verse 9, it says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And it says that we should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we need to show forth our praise and share our faith and lead people out of darkness. We can't do that without sharing our faith. We can read these verses and memorize them and know them, and that's all good and well, but that don't help anybody else until you share it with them. So we are a chosen generation, and it says we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. And the last thing I want to share with you about construction zones is the end result of a construction zone is something restored, something new, something fresh. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. We have to go through those construction zones in our life and let God do the work that he needs to do to make us the new creature that we read about and be the new man. But we got to do, like it says there, the old things are passed away. You know, I fought against that for years. I wanted to give God just so much here and so much there. And I wanted to keep control of this area and I wanted to keep control of that area. When it says surrender to Christ, that means all. That's what the word Lord means, is he has dominion over the whole territory, not parts of it. He's not a governor. He's not a mayor. He is Lord, and that means he has dominion over everything. So we have to give him all parts of our life, not just some of them. And the end result is we be a new man, a new creature, born again in Jesus Christ with his Holy Spirit to lead us. You know, my daughter and I, we had to go to Walmart to get some stuff. And the nearest Walmart was like 25 or 30 miles away in a town called Spencer. So we headed out to Spencer from Clendenin where we were at. And about halfway there, the road turned into new pavement. And I know I love new pavement. It was just all shiny black pavement, you know, with the bright new lines. It was super smooth. It was just a really nice road, and that was strange up there. Most of the roads up there are really rough, so it was just a big surprise when we ran around the curve and we saw that nice new road. And that got me thinking about all the construction zones that I drove through to get there and how those things are necessary. You know, you have to go through that to wind up with that end result. And I think a lot of us are like that. We've just gotten used to the old rough road of life that we've been on so long, or we got so complacent in our faith that we just don't even pay attention to it. We see it falling apart, but we're so used to it that it don't, you know, we don't pay any attention to it. But when you see the end result, you're like, whoa, you know, you can't believe the change in it. And so much of us don't want a construction zone in our life because it costs more than we want to pay. Like I said a minute ago, it's uncomfortable. It's painful to change. It's painful to let things go. And we don't want to go through that. We want the benefits of restoration. We want the benefits of the construction, but we don't want to go through the construction zone to get there. And I'm telling you, if you're going through a hard time in your life, or if your faith has just become dead and lifeless, let God have his way. Let him do the construction that he wants to do. Follow his signs and take the detours that he's putting in front of you, and let him get rid of whatever he wants to get rid of. And I promise you, whatever he replaces it with will be amazing. It'll be way beyond anything you could think of. It has been in my life. So don't complain about your construction zones. Let God lead you through them. And let him show you what needs attention and what needs worked on. You know, like I said earlier, God won't make you do anything, but he will show you the way if you let him. But like Chris said last Wednesday, and I think Josh said it on Sunday too, you'll never get the life God has for you going the wrong direction, chasing after your flesh. You have to be surrendered to and led by the Holy Spirit. And if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, that is the first step. You know, you're not going anywhere without that. There's nowhere good anyway. You'll never be going in the right direction without being surrendered to Christ. You'll always be following after your own sinful nature. You'll always be following your flesh. You'll always be doing what you think is right, or following the majority. We're not called to follow the majority. We're called to follow Jesus. And without His Holy Spirit to guide us, that's exactly what we do. We wind up conforming to the world, like the Bible says not to. We're supposed to surrender to Christ and let Him conform us, like we did a few weeks ago, into the image of His Son. So you need the power of the Holy Spirit to make the changes in your life you need to make. You can't do it by yourself, and you won't do it by yourself because you're being led by your flesh. So take the time this week and stop at that rest area that we were talking about and really honestly evaluate your life. You know, what am I sowing? And what is this going to look like 6 months from now? What's it going to look like a year from now? And that's easy to do if you're honest with yourself. You can actually see what that's going to bring down the road. You know, where am I heading? What am I sowing? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, that's what Paul says. He says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. He says, know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? You know, nobody but you and God know if you're in the faith. Only you and God know whether or not you're surrendered to Christ. But, you know, like we read back in Galatians a few minutes ago, it says, God is not mocked. We do reap what we sow. So we have to be careful about what we're sowing. We have to do like Paul is telling that church here. Am I really in the faith, or am I just going through the motions? Am I just trying to look godly? You know, God is real, and He will change your life, but it's up to you to surrender your will to Him and be obedient to what He tells us to do. So we have to trust God and go out in faith and make the changes that He's asking you to make. And God will never fail you, and God will never let you down, and He'll get you to that place where when the hard times come, you won't be fearful of Him anymore. Because, you know, God is right there with you. I think Chris said that last Wednesday too. You know, when you get to those uh-oh moments or whatever, the Holy Spirit is always with us. Jesus said when He sent Him, you know, in the Old Testament, you only see the Holy Spirit in a few places. God would place Him on people for a moment or for a little while, and then He would go back. But under the New Covenant, through Christ, when God places His Holy Spirit on us, it remains. It don't never leave you. Once you surrender to Christ, He is with you forever to lead you and to guide you, as long as you're living in obedience to God. Oh, and He'll get you to that place when the bad things happen. You'll realize that He's right there with you. And then the abundance of your heart has changed too. The abundance of your heart will be faith in God instead of fear. It'll be faith in God instead of anger. You know, no matter what is going on around you, because you trust God's word, like we read a while ago in Romans 8:28, that no matter what I'm going through, all these things are going to work out for my good. Because I trust God and I'm being obedient to Him. That is the best feeling in the world. And, you know, I learned this early on in my faith. The more obedient to God that I was, the less fearful I was, because I knew I was obedient to God. You know, I didn't have to prove that to anybody. I didn't have to convince anybody that I was doing what was right, because I knew in my heart that I had been obedient to God. And there is, you wouldn't believe how much confidence you get just knowing you are obedient to God, because you know every promise that He has is yours because you've done what He asked you to do. So when you do stop at that rest area and examine your life and what direction you're going and what you're sowing, just trust God. When He tells you to go this way, go that way. He won't never lead you in a way that's going to harm you. He says his plans are for our good and for a future. He'll never do anything to lead you in the wrong direction. So that's my prayer for you this week, is that you will stop at that rest area and just take a look at what direction am I going, and take a look at the relationships in your life. You know, the people in your life. How are they doing? What could I do to help them? You know, it's really simple, and it's not hard to do. All we have to do is die to ourselves. The reason we don't do all these things, and the reason that we're not as compassionate as we should be, is because we're so focused on ourselves. We're focused on worldly things. We have to turn our focus where it needs to be, on Jesus Christ and on the people in our lives and what we need to be for Him and for them. So if you're going through a construction zone in your life, don't fight it. Pray to God about it. Ask Him to show you, like we read in Psalms 139, what needs to change, and He'll show you. And just trust Him and make those changes, and I promise you, you'll come out better on the other side. But that's all I've got this week. I thank y'all for coming out, and I thank you for listening to me. And I pray that you'll take this to heart, and I pray that you would receive it. And I pray that you'd put those things into practice, because you wouldn't believe what God can do in your life if you just give Him the opportunity. So thank you all again for coming out, and I'll pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for this message you gave me this week. Lord, I just pray for everyone that's here. I pray for everybody that's listening online, Lord, that you would help them to come to that place where they can stop and actually do that evaluation that we're talking about, Lord. And I pray that they would prayerfully pray those verses out of Psalm 139. And Lord, I pray that they would be willing to let you make the changes in them that you desire to make. And Lord, I pray that it just brings glory to your name when they do make those changes and they see that fruit start pouring out of their lives, and we become better men and women of God and be the body of Christ that we're supposed to be. Father, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.